Leviticus 16. We'll read from verse 3. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are the holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. Down now, please, to verse 23. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth and offer the burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and shall make an atonement for himself and for the people, and so on. I've been looking a little bit at the Great Day of Atonement lately. I haven't really put things together as I want to eventually, but I'm really struck with these holy linen garments. If we were to look into Exodus 28, there we have a description of the garments that Aaron wore 365 days of the year. They're described as the garments of glory and beauty. And you can understand why they're described that way just by reading of the details of the colors and so on in relation to those garments. But 365 days of the year, he wore those garments. But on the great day of atonement, he put off those garments and he put on what is described here as the holy linen garments. Before doing so, he washed his flesh and he put on the garments. And then he performed this tremendous ceremony for the great day of atonement. I would judge that he actually went into the holiest of all at least 3 times. First of all, he went in with a censer full of incense, and the incense covered the mercy seat. Then he went in with the bullock for a sin offering for himself and for his house. And the blood was sprinkled once upon the mercy seat and 7 times before the mercy seat. And then he went in with the goat for the Lord, which was offered for the people as a sin offering. And again, the blood was sprinkled before and on the mercy seat. And then we see that after he had performed all this service, he confessed all the iniquities of the children of Israel. And then he put off the holy linen garments, washed his flesh again, and put on the garments of glory and beauty. And he left the holy linen garments in the holiest of all, and eventually went out to the people. It really struck me at first as strange that these holy linen garments, and by the way, I noticed that not only were the outer garments completely linen, there was no other color, it was all linen, but even the description of his undergarments, the breeches as they're described. That word for breeches comes from a word that means to be hidden, and it's only ever used of the undergarments of the high priest. They were of linen too. And that would remind us of Christ as the Holy One, the Righteous One, not only as far as the external is concerned, his actions, but as far as his nature is concerned, that's the breeches, the hidden part. On the inside, he was absolutely pure. Well, only on this one day did he wear those garments. And so when he went into the holiest of all, which he only did this one day in the year, he was wearing these particular garments, not the garments of glory and beauty when he went in, but the holy linen garments. What comes to my mind is John's first epistle. The background of John's first epistle is the great day of atonement. When we come into chapter 2, John tells us, "These things have I written unto you in order that you don't sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." That's the picture of Leviticus 16. This is the high priest going into the holiest of all. He's described by John as Jesus Christ, the Righteous One. He's in his holy linen garments going into the presence of God. And then it goes on and says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." There are two different words in the New Testament translated propitiation. They're related words. The one word, hilasterion, is found in Romans chapter 3. And that particular word is the word that is translated in the Septuagint for the mercy seat upon the Ark of the Covenant. But the word used in 1 John is not now for the mercy seat, but for the sacrificial offering that was offered. And so he is the propitiation for our sins. So on the one hand, he's the high priest offering the sacrifice. On the other hand, he's the sacrifice itself. So he goes in the holy linen garments, and he bears with him the blood of the sacrifice. That's a picture of Christ. After his resurrection, he ascends to God's right hand in the holy linen garments. To me, that is absolutely beautiful, because he was crucified as though he was a common criminal. He was numbered with the transgressors as far as the world is concerned. But as far as God is concerned, he's the Holy One going into the presence of God, bearing with him the value of the sacrifice that he offered upon the cross. But then we see him removing the holy linen garments and leaving them behind in the holiest of all. It seems strange that they would be left behind at first. And he washes his flesh again, and he puts on the garments of glory and beauty. So when the people saw him go in, he went in the holy linen garments. But when the people saw him come out, he's in the garments of glory and beauty. You know, the people would be waiting for the high priest to come out on that great day, that day that was so special to Israel. when all the iniquities of the children of Israel were confessed before God and they were covered once again. And when their high priest came out, he came out in the garments of glory and beauty. What I see in that, it reminds me of the napkin that we read about in John chapter 20. Remember when Peter rushed into the sepulchre, he saw the grave clothes. And then John followed him afterwards, and John saw the grave clothes, and he saw the napkin, not laid with the grave clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And John saw and believed. And we've seen previously that the picture there is of a finished work. The work was done. The napkin was normally the sweatband of a laboring man. And at the end of the day, he'd remove the sweatband and fold it up and put it away. His work was done for the day. So Christ removed the sweatband, as it were, the napkin, folded it up and put it in a place by itself, away from the other garments. His work was done. That, I believe, is the picture of the holy linen garments left in the holiest of all. And here are the people waiting for him to come out. And when he comes out, he's not now in the holy linen garments. He's in the garments of glory and beauty. That's how we're going to see him when the Lord returns to take us to be forever with himself. Not in the holy linen garments. That work will have been completed. He'll come out in the garments of glory and beauty. We're going to see him in his beauty. And when we shall see him, John says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Trust the Lord will bless those few scattered thoughts to each one of us.